Does somebody care to explain to me how Lewis Williams outscored the entire backcourt for the Eastern Conference All-Stars? Lou Williams, 48 FD points. Kyrie Irving, 35. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 44. Oh, God. Last night was bananas. Welcome to the Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast with lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I am Sean Kane. I am your host. I am tilting. Oh, my gosh. Last night was insane. The cash line in 50-50s was 315. I don't know that I've seen that this year. I mean, it makes sense when fucking Norman Powell scores 40, Lou Williams scores 48, Nerlens Noel again goes ham, you know, and that's just to name the value guys. Oh, anyway, want to say thank you, everybody. Yesterday, Twitter was absolutely wonderful. Appreciate all the retweets, the comments, retweeting from, you know, Nephew Barry, Wisconsin Sports, DFS Shane, all you guys, friends of the pod, really appreciate you. And of course, the guys over at Fan Forecast. Nice little contest, DFS Flurry, my man. DFS Flurry threw up there last night, $2 league, which was really frustrating because I was on Lou Williams in my second shooting guard spot, and I pivoted at the last minute to Eric Gordon. I would have hit 336 with Lou Williams. Instead, I was in the 288. So, anyway, man, I hope you cashed. I saw it's people made money last night, so I'm really, really happy for you guys. If you did, that's awesome. I missed just kind of randomly on different things. It is Thursday, 26th of January. We have a short little four-game slate here. But in the next half an hour or so, we'll preview the night to come in the NBA. I'll give you the spreads. I'll give you the injury news. Then I'm going to give you a breakdown of players to target on the upcoming slate. Before we do that, let's recap last night's lineup. One of these nights. Okay, you know, man, I tweeted this out this morning. I will take 305 9 out of 10 days. You know, process is sound. If you're hitting 305 in your cash lineups, your process is sound. On a night like last night, it just didn't work. You know, I think we have to trust that, you know, we made the right selections for the right reasons and the right spots. We missed ceiling because value guys were going 10x. And, you know, you had to have some of those value guys. You know, and I think what for me is the problem here is I let my real life basketball bias stand in the way of high quality DFS decision making, right? Like, Norman Powell, Lou Williams, they're just pure shooters. I don't love a pure shooter as far as a basketball player. That's just me personally. I just don't think you bring a lot, to the table. And, you know, of course, they brought a ton of buckets to the table. And, you know, but of course, you know, Lakers lose, so those Lou Williams points don't matter. You know, Toronto loses, so those Norman Powell points don't matter. I mean, you know, in real basketball life, that impact didn't matter. You know, the one that I definitely missed on was Nerlens. I guess, you know, the Bucks defense really is that bad right now. For them to lose to the 76ers without Embiid at home, that's not good. Jason Kidd's probably got to get a wake-up call. So, you know, the hard part is that, you know, we nailed the decision with Wayne Ellington. He went 7X. We nailed Dirk. He was great. We nailed Steven Adams. He was great. And all the other guys basically hit 5X. You know, Steph hit his floor at 39. Narrative Street was a little thin, I know. Kyrie really did hurt us. You know, if Kyrie actually goes for more than, I think, more than 3.38, almost 4x, doesn't even go 4x. If he actually goes 4x, we're fine. I think we're in the cash there, 10 more points for us. You know, I don't know. It's frustrating because I can see the difference. It's, you know, all it is it's Dragic for Kyrie, which we were, you know, we talked Dragic on the pod, and it's Nerlens for Zebo. You know, and then maybe you get on Giannis instead of Harden and you can find LeBron in there, you know, in over Covington. You know, you could easily $5,000 in this lineup by just kind of a couple key core pivots, and that makes me mad. All right, enough is enough. I'm glad that I saw, like I said, I'm glad I saw people cashing last night. I'm glad Marc Gasol went ham. That was awesome. I love Marc Gasol. You know, and tonight's another night. We got to get back out there and make it work. So let's dive into the games for tonight. All right, we have a, like I said, a short little four game slate, okay? And in four game slates are really interesting. They're kind of tricky. And if one of the things that I would recommend is I just did this last week, and I would recommend go back to the short slates, four, five game slates. We've had, I think, four in the month of January. Look through your FD history, figure out where those little four game slates are, and just look through the top lineups. How did people structure lineups so that they could get themselves, you know, get themselves to 320? You know, that's that magic number that Zach always talks about, DFS Flurry talked about. 320, you know, that's that magic number. So you're looking at that. You know, you look at what people did just structurally. How many studs do they have? How many value plays that they have? You know, I think what you're going to notice is you have a higher concentration of, you know, players that you pay up for. You know, it's almost more of a stars and scrubs, because if you don't have the stars in there, you may struggle. But I don't know, you know, it's inconsistent. So, you know, four game slates are really, really pretty strange. Five game slates, four game slates are really kind of strange. So anyway, let's look at the slate here. We have, first game of the night, Dallas at Oklahoma City, 197 total in this one. OKC favored by 9. Massive injuries on the Dallas side. Darren Williams is out with a toe. JJ Barea is still out. He's not planning to come back until the All-Star break, by the way. Wesley Matthews is out with a hip flexor, and Dirk is out for rest. They're not going to play Dirk on back-to-back. So, whoa. Give me all the Harrison Barnes that I can get, and all the Seth Curry that I can get, because that's pretty much a guarantee that those two are going to have to play 36 minutes. On the OKC side of the ball, nothing really to report here. No major injuries. You know, Steven Adams is back with a vengeance, so be pumped about that. All right, Indiana at Minnesota, 212 total in this one. Minnesota favored by 3.5 at home. That injury news, you know, Monte Ellis, I think, is going to be out still, or excuse me, Rodney Stuckey out still. Monte Ellis is a game time decision. I don't really know how many shares of the Indiana shooting guard I really want, so don't really care about that. And other than that, should be good to go on the Minnesota side of the ball. Doesn't look like they have any injuries there to be concerned about. Moving on to game number 3 of the night, you have Phoenix at Denver. This is the game du jour. This is it, man. 231 total in this one. Denver favored by 7. Two of the highest paced teams, lowest defense in the league. You know, definitely a game stack candidate. You want lots of shares of this game just so you can kind of get you know, lots of exposure to, you know, the massive number of possessions that are going to be had here. So, on the Phoenix side of the ball, Dragon Bender, which is one of the most amazing names in basketball, has an ankle, but no one was worried about that. It's really on the Denver side of the ball that's a lot more interesting. It's Emmanuel Mudiay with the back, which opens up Jameer Nelson. And some people are going to be on Jamal Murray, but Jameer Nelson's really the one getting the minutes. Old man Nelson. So that's a value play you'll see out there quite a bit. Both of those guys under 4K. And then we got Lakers at the Jazz. Oh, you know, 201 total in this one, but no surprise, Utah favored by double digits, 13-point favorites at home. D'Angelo Russell out for the Lakers, and Rodney Hood is a game-time decision for the Jazz. So, you know, I don't really know what kind of value you want to find in the Lakers side. I mean, it made sense last night against Portland, who's one of the worst defenses in the league. Utah is the best defense in the league, so it's kind of almost the opposite situation. I don't really want too many Lakers shares. But anyhow, all right, let's go ahead and take a look at the players that I love tonight. Okay, so at the point guard position, you've got two high-priced options tonight, two really nice options. One is Eric Bledsoe at 9-7, and the other one is Russ at 12-7. Russ, obviously the highest player on the highest priced player on the slate. You know, and he's going to be dealing with the whole second unit backcourt of Dallas. No JJ Barea, no Darren Williams. It's going to be mostly Seth Curry. And Seth Curry is not a bad defender. You know, he's a negative 0.1 plus minus, which is pretty neutral. You know, the real concern, I think, if you want to roster Russ's pace of this game, you know, I don't love the pace of this one. So, I think Dallas, just to kind of stay in it as much as they can, they're just going to nurse the clock, really, really take their time, not let the Thunder get out in transition, and, you know, just protect the ball and try to keep it close all the way into the fourth quarter and see if something can happen. You know, I think the upside there in this one is with Bledsoe, really. You know, he's going to be in one of these huge, these wonderful matchups, pace-up game. The problem that you have with Bledsoe, the concern you have with Bledsoe is whether or not he can hit ceiling at this massive price. You know, you're asking him to hit, you know, 47 points at this price, which I don't think is crazy given his recent tear, given the pace of this game, and given how Denver plays against the point guard. So, you know, I think what I'm going to do here is probably take the safety of the pace. And, you know, I think you look at a guy like Isaiah Thomas, even, right? Last night, Thomas went bananas in a pace-up game. I think he profiles very similarly to Bledsoe, you know? Definitely a bucket-getter, definitely a guy who can score quite a bit. And when you give him extra possessions, he takes advantage of that. So I like Bledsoe quite a bit in this one. All right, at shooting guard, it is Devin Booker at 7-2. He's the highest-priced shooting guard on the slate. And, you know, he's been on a tear. He's got Denver as well. It's his highest price of the year. Not your favorite matchup with Denver. He does have a great matchup with Denver. I'm sorry. They are dead last against the shooting guard. You know, the question for me as it relates to Booker is really whether or not his peripherals are enough to get it done at this high price. This is a season high price for him, right? So, you know, you've got Booker at a season high, 7-2. You're asking him to score value 36 points. And if he only gets you 3 rebounds and 3 assists, that's, you know, 8 points in peripherals. So you're asking him to score 30, basically. Okay? Now, looking into his game logs, 30 is not crazy for Booker, not at all. I mean, he's done it. He has scored 30 seven times this year, and once it was against Denver, you know. But it doesn't feel like a great value opportunity for Booker, and there's a lot of value at shooting guard. So, you know, if you – I like Booker a lot in this situation, and I do – I think he can hit value for sure. I don't know what his ceiling looks like, to be honest with you. His ceiling really this year has been about 40 points, but he's definitely hot. You love the extra possessions. You love the pace in this Denver game, so you do want as many shares of it as you can get as far as starters, and you love his minutes. Like 35-plus minutes is just crazy. So I'm good with Booker if you want to go there. Moving on, small forward. It's interesting slate for small forward, really kind of a complicated slate for small forward, to be honest with you. The three top-priced guys are Hayward, Paul George, and Wiggins. Hayward at 8K, Paul George at 7.7, and Wiggins at 7.6. Now, if for me, you know, it kind of comes down to Hayward and Wiggins. I think Paul George, I don't love him at that price. We loved him at 7K earlier this week, but I just don't love him at 7.7. You know, and Indiana and LA are both bottom 10 DVP to the small forward, whereas Minnesota is more towards the middle top 10. So, you know, if I'm picking one, Hayward or Wiggins, I'm going to pick the more pace up, more competitive game, and that's going to lead me towards Wiggins. So Wiggins is going to be Wiggins is not bad. You know, he's the cheapest of those three options, and he's been really hot lately. Massive numbers in the last three, nothing less than 24 points in the last three games. He's had 19, 19, and 22 attempts. His usage rate is just bonkers right now. You know, and we talked about that because Zach LaVine is just kind of backseating it. And I don't know if that's Tibbs' scheme or whatever, but Zach LaVine is just not shooting. And I think it's probably just because Wiggins is playing a lot better, and they're basically saying, let's force the offense through Wiggins and Towns. And I kind of agree. Paul George allowed 26 and 27 points recently to Carmelo and Hayward, who definitely profile similarly to Wiggins as far as, you know, just usage, minutes, et cetera. So Paul George, you know, not like a lockdown defender right now. You know, he's a good defender, but he's not a lockdown defender. He's got a negative plus minus as far as defensive real plus minus. You know, so I looked into how did Hayward do against Paul George, because they recently played, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, so Hayward and Wiggins, very kind of similar game, you know, pull up shooters, you know, 6 foot, I think they're both 6 foot six or more. So how did Hayward do? Well, Hayward had a great game. You know, like I said, he had 27 points and he had a majority of it. The cool thing about NBA stats, by the way, statsnba.com, you can track shooters in particular games and where they took their attempts from and all that kind of thing. So you're really into the nitty gritty to try to figure out whose games match similarly. So I compared Hayward's game against Paul George, you know, to kind of try to understand what Wiggins would be capable of doing. So Hayward had, I think he had like 16 attempts, which was pretty great. You know what I mean? He's getting space, he's getting looks. And his majority of his attempts on pull-ups, like kind of mid-range pull-ups, you know, and the closest defender on the majority of those was 4 to 6 feet away, which basically NBA, the stats classifies as open, not wide open, but open. So he's getting plenty of space, you know, and I think that's kind of a symptom of, you know, the fact that maybe Paul George is sagging a little bit to help protect the interior, protect the defense. But that's, I mean, that's Wiggins' deep, that's Wiggins' game, you know, that 1-2 dribble, pull up mid-range. You know, and he can elevate over the best of them in that mid-range. You saw him in that Phoenix game. He just kept like bam, bam, boom, bam, bam, boom. That's not really good analysis. That's just sound effects. I apologize. That's what we call a that's called a verbal highlight. So anyway, I like Wiggins. I think he's just hot right now, and he's at home, so that's another thing. And this is the second closest spread on the night. So, you know, if you really want shares of the one of the most competitive, you know, most fantasy viable games, you want shares of Minnesota, Indiana, and you want shares of Denver, Phoenix. Moving on, power forward, Nikola Jokic, 10-4. I can't wait until I feel good about Jokic again. You guys, like, I love playing Nikola Jokic, but I don't love playing him above 10K, and I don't want to play him against Tyson Chandler. You know, you may be looking at this and going, Jokic, oh, well, the power forward, you know, they're not that good against power forward. No, they're not that good against power forward, but Jokic doesn't play power forward. Jokic plays the five. Okay, you got Kenneth Faried and Darrell Arthur at the four, who are both really reasonable values tonight. You know, for Jokic's price, they're asking him to hit 50 plus here. Oof, I don't know. I see 45, 40. He's a killer. I love Nikola Jokic. But he is going to see Tyson Chandler. And, you know, here's the thing, right? We saw Chandler do some great defensive work against Karl Anthony Towns last night. He was limited to 35 FD points. You know, Chandler has a great defensive real plus minus. He soaks up the board, so you're going to limit other big men upside, you know, when you're against Chandler, because they're going to limit their rebounding opportunities. So, you know, if I'm getting 35 to 45 points for Jokic at 10-4, I just don't know if that's worth the value. Last time out, Jokic had 13 and 11 against the Nuggets, 31 minutes too. He got full minutes in that one. You might be saying, oh, well, maybe that was when in the beginning of the season when he was hurt. Nope, full 31 minutes. I just don't see him breaking 50 here, so I don't know that I need to pay up for Jokic. At center, it's Karl Anthony Towns, the big cat, 10-6. He has Indy at home, which is really nice. We like Towns at home. We really like Towns at home. Miles Turner, not a great defensive center, 23rd in DVP against the center right now. And here's what I'm referencing as kind of a comparison. You know, take it or leave it, okay? But I think what I'm looking at here is I'm looking at the game that Nikola Jokic had against Turner in London, okay? And if you think, turn back the clock a couple weeks ago, okay, you remember that? Who remembers that? I remember that because Nikola Jokic absolutely destroyed people and had an excellent, excellent game. So, you know, I love some Towns right here. You know, the splits for him at home are really, really pretty special. He and Rubio have really nice correlation, and especially at home. You know, I like both of them. The logic is there, especially because of the history that Miles Turner has against elite centers. I mean, think about this. Jokic put up 56 FD points, 47 FD points. Boogie put up 53 on Miles Turner. You know, so Towns profile is very similar to me as those guys, you know, offensive-minded, high usage centers who are athletic. You know, and as good as Miles Turner is, I don't know necessarily that Karl Anthony Towns is going to have a problem with him. So, you know, the other option, though, really the elite option there that people are going to be on for sure is Rudy Gobert. Gobert's getting the Lakers. And, you know, we'll talk about Gobert in a little bit, that's definitely a viable option for sure if you want to pay up at, you know, point guard, for example. All right, the fantasy grout. We've got five mid-price guys to fill into the second tier. At point guard, there's a couple interesting options here. And I'll list them in order of price and, you know, kind of what the argument is for each of them. At 7-5, you've got Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague, nice matchup with Ricky Rubio. Ricky Rubio, not an aggressively quality defender. I think Teague's price is a little bit high, you could do worse than Jeff Teague. Then you've got Ricky Rubio at 6'9". He's taken all his minutes back, and like I said, he's at home, and the correlation between him and Towns at home is really pretty nice. Rubio's been playing well. He has a couple 40-point games in January, so you don't mind him priced down, 6'9", that's pretty good. And then there's George Hill, Mr. Consistency, George Hill, 6'1". And he's the one that really feels right for cash games. You know, you've got the Lakers, who are one of the worst in DVP to the point guard. Hill has incredibly safe minutes these days, 31-plus in pretty much every single game. So, you know, that's really nice. And then you have you add to that he didn't play them last time. So I think we could really see, a nice game from Hill. Definitely 30 FD points, definitely 5X. I think the question is are you going to get the Hill who defers and defends and, gets you 7 assists? Or are you going to get the Hill who goes and, takes 16 shots and gets you 30 points? He can do it. He's done it. I just don't know if he'll do it against LA, not because I don't think he can. I just don't know if LA is going to be able to stay in this game. Honestly, if they can't score, then Hill's value is kind of, the coaching staff at Utah knows that. There's no reason to play, George Hill, who's been banged up all year, 35 minutes against the Lakers when you can beat them by playing Shelvin Mack, because you did it already. Hill is awesome. He's a lock for 30 FD points, but if you want to go somewhere else for ceiling, I get that. The only good news for LA is they are at home and Luol Deng is back and he is healthy. So that's kind of nice. You got to think that they have a little bit of upside in that respect. Add shooting guard. I don't like Depot. I don't like Lou Williams. Both are in pace down games against decent defenses. They're not going to get enough looks. And people may be looking at box scores last night with Lou, and Lou's usage is insane right now. And a lot of respect to Lou Williams. And if he had been in my lineup last night, if I had gotten him in there and stopped with my permanent fade of just bucket getters, personal bias interfering with DFS success. That's annoying, Sean. Got to know that about yourself though, right? So, if you forced me to pick, I think it's Lou. Though, he is their proven scoring weapon. They need to give him the ball in order to stay in games, and he's going to shoot the shit out of the ball. He's going to put up so many shots. He's going to force the three. And if he gets hot, man, he shoots 40%. It's the same thing as Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, any of these three-point guys who, Jamal Crawford, if they get hot, they torch people. And, if LA wants to stay in this game, then Lou Williams will be the reason that they do it. The one thing that I think really changes this is that if Rodney Hood is back, which he's a game time with that knee, he's coming back. He is a plus defender. He's top 10 at the shooting guard position. Lou and the rest of that backcourt kind of takes a hit if Rodney Hood is back, which it'll be nice to have Rodney Hood back. You find a good matchup for Rodney Hood. He is not a consistent fantasy asset, but I would like to see him back. I think there's too much value on this slate to pay for Lou, to be honest with you. So it's a long way of saying that. At small forward, we got some nice, I already broke down those top three options, but I think one of the other really nice options is Wilson Chandler at 5'1". He and Gallinari are both priced 5'1 and 5'8". the minutes are weird. Gallinari's getting like 30, but there's a couple games where Chandler clearly will get hot and they'll leave him in, which is kind of concerning. You don't love that as far as just minutes. You know, but Chandler is definitely the hotter scorer than Gallinari. He is a higher ceiling for sure. Seems like they're getting, you know, it's just a hot hand approach there. Phoenix, bottom three DVP to the small forward. We saw what Andrew Wiggins did the other night. Chandler had massive numbers against Phoenix this year. He's averaging 46 FD points against them. He put up 26, 9, and 3 with two steals against the Suns. So, you know, I mean, geez, at 5-1, that's kind of one of the best values. You're asking Wilson Chandler to do 25 points against the Suns in the highest total of the night. I think you could, that's easy. You know, that's his ceiling game really on his season. That's 46 points. That was his ceiling. So, you know, it feels good at that price to go with Wilson Chandler. If you're going to pay for Wilson Chandler, he's a little bit nerve-wracking, but if you're going to pay for Wilson Chandler, man, this is kind of the spot to do it. The other one, though, that you really can't sleep on, and I would be stupid for not telling you about this, is Harrison Barnes at 6'2". No Barea, no Dirk, no Wes Matthews, no Deron Williams. Barnes has a 35% usage rate. I mean, that's crazy. So, you know, this is a very good price for Barnes. He was up at 6'9 at one point last week. That's a terrible price, especially with Dirk back, biting his usage. No thank you. But last night we saw it, right? Dirk was on the court, but we did, you know, Deron Williams left early. J.J. Barea wasn't, and Wes Matthews were both out. So, you know, with that situation last night, he got 37 minutes. He put up 32 FD points. His price didn't change at all. You know, and I think what you do here is you look back at what was Barnes doing before Dirk was full strength, which is basically the new year, right? Dirk came back and he had those couple games where he was like 15, 20 minutes. But then he really started to get those minutes after the first week in January where he was up to 25, almost 30. So if you look back to December and you see what Barnes was doing without Dirk, he's, you know, basically has a 22-point floor and a 40-point ceiling. Tons of games just littered in the 30s all between, you know, and we're looking at like, it's a pretty good sample size. You're looking at like 12, 15 games there, you know, it's not just like four games. So Barnes feels like a really nice cash game lock, especially next to Chandler. You know, they're just two really solid values tonight on this slate. So, power forward, two guys that are facing off against each other who are very similar profiles, very similar price. Thad Young, Georgie Dang. Thad Young, 5'4", Georgie Dang at 5'6". You know, starters minutes, big guys. Their team needs them for both rebounding. They're both well-rounded, kind of double-double types, you know, 10 and 10. You know, they have a really nice floor, 15, 16 points, and they're definitely going to get close to 30 minutes. You know, If you're asking me to pick one, I'm going to take Thaddeus Young just because I think he has more offensive game and he has a better ceiling. You know, Thad has had some really nice games and he's underpriced. He's priced lower than Dang. Dang is amazing for his consistency, but he just doesn't have the offensive ceiling that Thad Young has. So I don't mind Thad Young at all against Minnesota. Then at center, you've got a couple options, but, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about Rudy Gobert just because I think that people know a little bit about Tyson Chandler. You know, we know, you know, Steven Adams, and I'll talk about him in the value section. But Gobert, I think this is more of like, it's not a warning, but I want to explain this research to you because I love Rudy Gobert, but I don't know if I love him tonight. So there's a couple things there that you got to pay attention to, right? He's seen the Lakers three times this year. He has put up an average of 13, 14, one assist, and four blocks, you know, which is an average of 40 FD points. But last game that he saw them, he only put up 26 points. You know, he's priced to hit 42. So what we're saying is his season average against the Lakers is below 42. Last game, he only had 26. He hasn't really gotten over 30 FD points, I think, in the last, let me double check this real quick. He hasn't gotten over 30. Okay, so he's, no, that's not true. I lied. He has, 60 at Dallas. Then he, well, that was a 25 rebound game, right? That's bananas. And then he had 32, 31, and 21. So, you know, kind of a drop off here for Gobert. Good situation as far as DVP. Miles Plumlee went ham last night. So shout out to Joe over at Fan Forecast. He DM'd me and was like, "What do you think about Plumlee?" And I was like, "Oh man, no way. I'm off Plumlee. Plumlee's garbage." You know, real basketball bias interfering with DFS bias. He did work against the Lakers. He put up like 18 points. I'm sorry. You know, the only thing that I can say is the saving grace is that I recommended Steven Adams, who was $1,000 cheaper and absolutely crushed value. So Plumlee, I don't know how he did it. He's Mason Plumlee. I'm not going to really do a lot of Mason Plumlee action, but I guess in plus matchups, you can think about Plumlee. Anyway, Gobert plus matchup for sure. 83K, not bad. You know, you can go down to Tyson Chandler at 6'6". Interesting. You can go to Miles Turner at 6'8", plus DVPs. We saw what Chandler did with Towns the other night. So Turner maybe could do some work. I just don't think Turner's priced very well. He's priced almost for 35 points, and he really hasn't done that very recently. I just think, I don't know, given the interior matchups for both of them, the size in those games, you know, as competitive as those games are, I like them for the possessions and the pace, and Chandler especially. I just, part of me feels like all three of them, Gobert, Chandler, Turner, might be priced too high. Center is driving me insane today, to be completely honest with you guys. Like, it's just driving me bananas. I have no idea. If I was on DK, I would probably be starting multiple centers. I would probably start Towns and Gobert, or I would start Towns and Tyson Chandler, or I would start Gobert and Tyson Chandler and feel awesome about it. Or, you know, even Steven Adams is in the mix. It's like five centers that I could play. You only get one, and it's kind of price restrictive. So, frustrating, but let's move on to the bargain basement. Value plays in that 5K range. We've got point guard tonight. We've got Jameer Nelson and Jamal Murray. You know, a lot of people are going to be on these guys, kind of trying to figure out who's who, who's going to get the minutes if Moutier is out. Jameer definitely gets the minutes. They're there. There's a history against the Sun. He's averaged 30 minutes and 22 FD points against them this year. Jamal did 14 FD points in about 20 minutes against Clarkson. So, not against Clarkson, against the Suns this year. I just think that they're kind of pumping the brakes on Jamal Murray because he just doesn't have the experience to run the offense in the way that Jameer Nelson does. And they have plenty of bucket getters on Denver. So Jamal Murray's usage just doesn't really make sense for them at this point in their season. You know, Jameer Nelson, more true point guard, a little bit better defender, shares the ball a little bit better, controls pace. I think that Jameer will probably get the minutes. And at 3-9, you know, hey, you could definitely do worse. He just doesn't have a ceiling. You know, Jameer Nelson's ceiling is 22 points. So you get 5X out of him. That's for sure with those minutes. You're just not going to get much more than that, I don't really think. At shooting guard, also a point guard, you've got Jordan Clarkson obviously filling in, taking the majority of the minutes while D'Angelo Russell is out. I don't like the matchup with George Hill, who's a top 10 defender against the point guard. That is all. Clarkson really couldn't even do much against Damian Lillard last night. So the Lakers, the poor Lakers. At the beginning of the year, they were talking about how Walton was like coach of the year potential. They're not disciplined enough. They don't play good defense. Julius Randle is brutal. Anyway, shooting guard, it's Seth Curry and Gary Harris. Gary Harris back in the action. And he just, as soon as he's back, he just takes the minutes. He takes the minutes straight from straight from Will Barton. He has no problem with it because he's a better two-way player. He does more on glass, does more in the peripherals, which he likes. So I love Harris at 4'8". And Seth Curry, man, he's going to be playing point guard. He's going to play 35 minutes at 4'1". I think I'm going to put the over-under at owned in 75% of cash lineups. 75% Seth Curry. That's where I'm going to put it at. He's at 4-1. People know the name. They like him. And he's going to get massive minutes in a decent situation. 75% over under. We'll see. Maybe I'll put a Twitter poll up there, see if people think he's going to be owned more or less. At small forward, there's some interesting options here. We already talked about Wilson Chandler. The one guy that I want to talk about is DFS, Dorian Finney-Smith. Whose namesake we celebrate here on the pod because he embodies daily fantasy sports just via his three-part name, Dorian Finney-Smith. He's probably going to get a massive bump in minutes just because of the dearth of people in Dallas. Ooh, the dearth in Dallas. That's nice. The dearth in Dallas. If there's anybody calling, if you're calling the game tonight, maybe Dearth in Dallas would be a great title for this game. But anyway, Dorian Finney-Smith, I don't know, $3,500, if you really want a punt play, he's tournament viable, but he really doesn't do much with those minutes, and he's not going to get a ton. He's basically just going to take the opposite side of Harrison Barnes' minutes. So interesting, but not too thrilled about Finney-Smith. When I think I'd be interested in Finney-Smith is if they said he is going to start for Wesley Matthews. If he starts for Wesley Matthews and he's in line for like not 20 minutes, but if he's in line for like 30 minutes, then I think it's kind of hard to fade a guy at min price who's going to get 30 minutes. So keep your eye on that news. You also have the two Suns small forwards, PJ Tucker and TJ Warren. TJ Warren just kind of so inconsistent. PJ Tucker, though, getting in the last three almost 30 minutes. And, at 4,500, he's not terrible. You don't hate that number for a guy who's getting almost 30 minutes in a pace-up game against Denver. You could do worse than PJ Tucker. And then you've got Lou Alding and Brandon Ingram. I'm definitely picking Dang just because of his history. He put, I think it was 25 on the Jazz last time. Dang probably does better in a pace down matchup where he can bang and get some boards, and do the kind of 8 and 8, 8 buckets, 8 points, 8 rebounds type thing. And stay on the court. I just don't know if he's healthy. Like, if you look at his minutes in the last two games when he came back, he hasn't gotten more than like 20 something minutes. So I'm just worried that Walton is taking it easy because the wrist isn't right. So, there's that. At power forward, the other guy who's going to be massively owned besides Seth Curry is Derek Favors. Derek Favors is 47K. He's getting consistent 28 minutes. Julius Randle is brutal. And Favors is going to eat. Favors is going to eat. He's going to do, let's call it 14 and 10, which is going to be great. Let's call it 14 and 10 for Favors. Somewhere near there. I probably just jinxed him. He'll probably have 4 and 4 now. But anyway, Favors is going to be massively owned, just like Seth Curry. Everybody loves the Favors play tonight. The other one is Kenneth Faried. And actually, the other really sneaky one is Darrell Arthur. This is kind of in the same category as DFS. Dorian Finney-Smith, of course. Faried at 5K, great. He's had some massive games against Phoenix. People love Kenneth Faried. Wait, time out. I've been meaning to talk about this. If you don't know the Kenneth Faried rap video, I need to tweet that out, and I'm going to attach that. I'm going to tweet that out. So one of the Kenneth Faried's buddies from like high school or somebody in college made a mixtape of Kenneth Faried dunk highlights from college when he was fucking filthy. Like, jumped out of the gym. He can still jump out of the gym. But, like, in college, it was like he was doing this against, you know, children. And the song is called Dunkin' on a Youngin' Like Kenneth Faried. And it is really good. And I say really good very loosely. It's not really good, but it's good enough that you want to listen to it and reference it every time Kenneth Faried is on the basketball court. So Dunkin' on a Youngin' Like Kenneth Faried, not bad, 5K, had 35 FanDuel points against Phoenix in two games this year. So love that upside. Problem is right now, Darrell Arthur, most boring name in basketball, is taking some minutes from my man Ken. So I don't know. Like, Darrell Arthur's kind of sneaky. 39K, like, you... Like, here's the thing. With the value on this board, if you wanted to go straight up stars and scrubs, like, you could probably do, you know, Russ and then Jameer Nelson and, you know, Devin Booker and Seth Curry. And then, you know, Andrew Wiggins and Luol Deng. And then Nikola Jokic and Darrell Arthur or Dwight Powell is the other one. You know, you could definitely, I think you could do that and then maybe get Towns or Gobert or something. You could get I think you could fit in three of the highest priced players into your lineup. No question. There's value out there. Dwight Powell, 3-7. He'll get a bump in minutes. Andrew Bogut is back, but Andrew Bogut is broken, a broken old Australian man. And Dwight Powell is a young rebounding machine who I don't understand why they don't give him more minutes, to be honest with you. Doesn't make sense. He adds a lot of life to that Dallas lineup. I think he plays well. I think he needs to rebound a little bit more and maybe play some better D, and then they really would love him. But he's 3-7, and you know what? No Dirk. You got to think that Powell gets some good usage tonight. Maybe starting unit. I mean, he's kind of like Dorian Finney-Smith, right? If you get the lineup and it's like Mavericks will start Seth Curry, Dorian Finney-Smith, Harrison Barnes, Dwight Powell, and Andrew Bogut, a very, very viable, you know, starting five for them, given how many people are out, then Dwight Powell will probably become chalky, and I'm okay with that. I don't mind Dwight Powell. 37, you only need, what, 17 points? And if he gets 25 minutes, just rebounds, dude. Just get some rebounds, bruh. And then at center, it's my boy, the Kiwi, Steven Adams, just absolute value crusher last night, put up 7 or 8X for us. Love the man. And what he is the reason that the Thunder work right now. Like, he is it for them. Russ is better with him. The whole team is better with him. He is a beast on the glass. He's a scoring option. He runs the floor. I love Steven Adams, dude. So 5'5", you could definitely do worse than Steven Adams, especially against a banged up front court. You know, Andrew Bogut is back, and Andrew Bogut's not a bad defender. You know, but like Willie Hernan Gomez last night went bananas. So I don't know if anybody was on Hernan Gomez, but he had 33 FD points. Saw that in one of the lineups that edged me out this morning. That's really tilting. You know, it's like, man, I went to bed and I was in the cash. How did I lose? Click on the guys that are ahead of you. What the fuck? He started Willie Hernan Gomez and Lou Williams and you beat me? Just so frustrating. So frustrating. Because those value plays aren't supposed to come through like that. And they did. And they did. And those guys deserve credit who started Willie Hernan Gomez. I don't know who you are, but you are a risk taker, my friend, and you deserve some credit. All right, anyway, off that, I like Adams tonight. No question, he is always in play for me with those minutes and just the way he plays. He's great. So, all right, that is it. Let's go ahead and take a look at the lineup lock where I build you guys a cash core lineup from which you can build your own lineup to work with and work around tonight. Okay, we have at point guard, and I'm not kidding when I say I probably have changed this lineup like 45 different times. There's so many different combinations. It's definitely a night when you have these small slates, definitely a night where you may want to just play some tourneys, you know, maybe play some small leagues just for variance purposes. You know, I think it's always smarter because it's risky on these small slates because you just don't know what's going to happen and you don't really have the, you know, you don't have the luxury of, you don't have the luxury of one guy flopping on these small slates. So anyway, at point guard, we've got George Hill and Eric Bledsoe. As much as I like Russ, I don't love Russ in a situation where I think the Thunder could blow them out. So George Hill is interesting to me right there. Bledsoe, for sure, I want him. And then at shooting guard, I've got Devin Booker and Seth Curry. Minutes for Booker, I think, are really secure. I like that. I do also like Gary Harris. I've had a number of different pieces of this lineup with Gary Harris in it. Then at small forward, it's going to be Harrison Barnes and Andrew Wiggins. I just like the security there, 40-point upside, solid small forward plays. Power forward, Derek Favors and Dwight Powell. You know, the other thing I could do instead of Powell is Darrell Arthur. That's kind of one of my biggest punt plays in this lineup, that second power forward spot. I just don't necessarily trust the rotation between Fareed and Arthur, and I don't know that I want to get it wrong. So I'll take the cheapest option I can get, which is Dwight Powell. And then at center, it's Karl-Anthony Towns. I just have a really good feeling about him at home against Miles Turner. I think that Towns could do work in what it will be one of the closer games of the night. Again, that's George Hill, Eric Bledsoe, Booker, Curry, Barnes, Wiggins, Favors, Powell, and Towns. There is definitely a version of this lineup where instead of Hill, you can go with you can definitely go with Russ and then go down to Steven Adams. And then the only piece that you have to change is Andrew Wiggins, and you can do Dano Gallinari instead of Wiggins, right? So there's another version of this lineup, which is Russ, Bledsoe, Booker, Curry, Barnes. Well, actually, here, even this. Wait a second. Let me try this real quick. Yeah, I mean, there is Russ, Bledsoe, Gary Harris, Seth Curry, Harrison Barnes, Andrew Wiggins, Favors, Powell, and then Steven Adams. And, you know, that's not bad either. I mean, like I said, there's a million one versions of this tonight. Play with it. You know, if you like Russ more than you like Towns, I get it. I just don't know how much Russ has to score for them to beat them in a slow game. So I'd rather have Devin Booker and George Hill priced down to hit value at 6K. So I'm going to go with Towns in a more competitive game. All right, that is it for me today. Please subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, comment, talk to me on Twitter. I'm talking to people all the time. DM me questions about Mason Plumlee. And I'll just tell you, don't play Plumlee, dude. I mean, just don't play Plumlee. But take it or leave it. All right, guys, that is it for me today. Good luck in your contest tonight, and I will see you tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow with Josh Fernandez, my man, Fern, coming on to break down the slate. We're going to be at it tonight so that pod's out and ready in the morning. I will talk to you guys later.